You are listening to episode number 130 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Unless you're deaf, in which case you don't hear jack shit.
How do you date a deaf girl?
Easy.
Oh, it's easy.
Oh, it's easy.
Especially she's deaf and blonde. That's a double Emmy right there.
I miss Johnny to be on this show.
What do you call a deaf and blind girl? Patty.
Perfection. That's what I call her.
The record machine. I knew he must have been about 17. He was strong, playing my favorite song. And I could tell it would be long that he was with me. Yeah, me. And I could tell it would be long that he was with me.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode number 130 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always and forever will be, I am your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me, the man who is the champion for Superior Spider-Man, Mr. Lantern, Arnold Alfred.
You!
And the man who likes to dump late Christmas presents of horrible movies onto others, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Okay, one, you bite your tongue. The Hulk is awesome.
Don't bite nothing.
Awesome movie. It rules.
Two,
thank you, Brandon Sanderson, and God bless Robert Jordan. A Memory of Light, book 14 of The Wheel of Time, is a godsend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And returning to the podcast after a long, long, long absence for I don't know how long, I don't know how long it's been since the last time, but Johnny V from Kentucky. Wherever that state's from, I don't care. All right.
thanks for having me back, guys. You've kept it warm in here. It feels fantastic.
I can't believe we've done this 130 times. I'm disbelief every fucking time these guys show up for this. I'm like, okay, this time's got
to
be the time they don't show up.
Mondays.
I got nothing better to do, so let's just do this thing. All right. Well, in case you are Johnny V, you have anything to say before we start about your comeback once again?
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
I'm going to take that as a no.
Hell strippers. The quotient is still where it needs to be.
All right. I got nothing to say to that. In case you are listening for the first time, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, or whatever the hell I feel like it, including books about Olympus. I don't know. Maybe that'll come up sometime. Let's get right into it. So the favorite thing on the internet to do is, number one, what, guys? Bitching, right?
Yes.
Now, the second most thing to do on an internet besides bitching is to sign an online petition. And, of course, there's plenty of those going around. But apparently there's another one that I don't even want to give it seriously this time of day, but we're going to do it anyways. We all know about the controversial ripoff of Battle Royale and Hunger Games. We already know about Avengers Arena, and apparently some people like it a lot. Some people don't like it because of what it's doing. Now, the people who don't like it need to get their stick out of the asses and just deal with it. But apparently there is a petition going on to for Avengers Arena to be canceled because of what it's doing to their to these characters, namely X-23, Metal from Avengers Academy. Am I forgetting Darkhawk is in it? I don't think Darkhawk is dead yet, though, right? I don't believe so.
I stopped reading. I didn't read 3. I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't pick up 3 either.
All right. So, needless to say, when the book first was announced, it was everybody fucking knew what it was going to be about. That
they're much asking to reverse the bring back the people that have already been killed.
Yes. Basically retconning, which is you would think a comic book fan would not like that. But, you know, whatever. To each his own, I guess. And I just got to say, this is absolutely ridiculous. If any of you people out there are listening to this, for whatever reason or another, you people are nuts, you people are stupid, and, you know, I normally say do or do not, you know, try, do your best. It's a fucking comic book. These characters are going to die. Whether you like it or not, in the grand scheme of things, these characters, while you like them a lot, and trust me, I have cult characters of my own who I like a lot, they don't matter in the large scheme of things. They just don't. You can take them out of the car, out of the wheel, and replace them with something else, and they're not going to be missed. By you, they are, and hopefully you won't jump off a 100-foot building, but, you know...
Oh, they will.
Who knows? Maybe they will, but... Cool, you like Darkhawk. Darkhawk doesn't matter. I hate to tell that to you.
You lie.
Metal doesn't matter. X-23...
You lie.
Huh?
You lie.
I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth.
You lie.
You can love a character all you want. I like Psylocke. I realize Psylocke is completely expendable because, good Lord knows, she is not getting a movie franchise based around her or getting a video game based around her. She hasn't even been in an X-Men game at all that I know of. Not even a game.
If they killed her off, you would stop reading the book.
No, fuck no. I keep reading.
Lie.
Anyways, my point is, I don't want to try to give it too much time. You're just stupid. Simple. You're just stupid. Stop. just stop. Your mothers need to talk to you all for signing something stupid. Didn't she teach you not to talk to strangers with petitions?
Is this thing in continuity even?
Avengers Arena? Yes.
I'm pretty sure it is. I would quicker sign a petition to stop people thinking that this book can be an ongoing instead of a limited series before I sign one to bring everybody back to life. Like, you know, I can understand one aspect of it. You like all of these characters, and now they're in a book where they're almost kind of like cannon fodder, so to speak. You know a bunch of them are going to just get pecked off. You know, that I can understand, but all the craziness and the petition is just asinine. I mean, nobody's selling death threats yet. hopefully none of those will surface again. I doubt it, though, after all of the Dan Slott stuff that happened. But, yeah, like you said, it's just stupid. People have too much fucking time on their hands.
I'm
pretty much against petitions in general, even when they involve things that matter in life. So for the fact that for things that don't really matter in life, when petitions start for those kinds of things, it's even worse. You know what I mean? It's like, enjoy your stories that have these characters in them. You know, you don't be mad when they get killed, but I mean, a petition's like, you know... supposed to help to bring about change in the world, not, you know, to help you feel better about a decision made in a comic book. You know what I mean? It's you know, there's important things in life to be worried about that you need to sign petitions over. I don't, but I mean, there's other things out there besides things in the comic book world that, you know, matter, that you don't need to put your John Hancock on, that, you know. But is Obama going to address this? Do we
know that? He'd better.
Enough signatures that Obama has to make an official statement about Avengers Arena? That would be pretty amazing if that happened.
Mr. President, we have a petition that you would like to take a look at. What is it? What is this?
Wouldn't it be funnier is if he looked at that petition and was like, this book is garbage. No. Really happy. You're like, fuck that. That book was trash.
Who the fuck is Darkhawk? I don't know any of these people.
Who did they kill off?
Michelle.
Who are these people? Metal, and that's all that I care about.
I'm a big Black Widow fan. I don't know. Who did they kill off? We'll address it. In Congress.
I don't know. Y'all have any more to say on the subject? Because I kind of don't want to give it this much.
Do.
Go ahead.
First of all, I like petitions because a petition will eventually get me my Death Star, okay, because we need a Death Star, okay? Second of all, who wrote this story again?
Dennis Hopeless.
Fuck him, okay? Fuck him for killing my Metal, and I don't care about anybody else. Metal was the only character in that book that I cared about, and he killed him in the first fucking issue, automatically guaranteeing that I'm not going to care. Because I'd be there to see that Metal didn't die, and he just bumped him off right there. So, you know what? Screw this book. Screw Hopeless. And screw Halle Berry because I like her. She's fine. But to be completely serious, I'm not a fan of this type of storyline in comics. This, I mean, and we've discussed this before. This is a cash grab based on the fucking thing with the lily kids running in the forest, whatever. I can't really draw up any interest on that type of story, and also, you know, killing Metal right off the bat automatically killed it for me. I don't care about Cammy. I don't care enough about Hazmat. I don't care that much about X-23, you know, and I doubt they kill X-23. See, that's the problem. You know, if they killed X-23, I'd kind of give them credit, but something tells me that won't happen. And we got introduced in, I think, the second book to a bunch of characters I had no clue about. And to me, that says cannon fodder. You know, these are characters that they're going to let us know a little bit about them and start to care, and then boom and boom, and then and some big spectacular event, boom, boom, boom. So fuck you, you know. I don't like stories like that.
It sounds like this guy's last name is pretty apt.
Well, yeah, I didn't say that because I read the other book he's doing for Marvel, Cable and X-Force, and it's not bad. It's pretty good. From what I understand about Avengers Arena, like, people who like it really like it and understand what it is. It's,
yeah,
I think
because
the problem,
they like, you know, whatchamacallit. They like Arena, Hunger Games, and they like Battle Royale. My thing is, those two games exist in their own little universe, untouched by anything else, not having anything to do with any pre-existing property. We're introduced to these characters right here, boom. They don't come from here, 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 and have been around for, let's say, 2, 3, 5 years. You know, imagine if they took, let's say, a bunch of X-Men, a bunch of Avengers, some people who have been Defenders, and made that book. Do you really think that would sell? Imagine if they'd have tossed Captain America and Silver Surfer.
It'd be an out-of-continuity book. They would never do a book like that.
Right, because these characters are expendable.
Well, that's what I said at the opening beginning, that unfortunately the truth is these characters at the end of the day don't matter. You can like a character all you want, and it sucks when a character dies or a book is ended.
That's always the problem with me, and we've had that discussion, that characters, depending on the writer, who's expendable or not, you know, and then the next writer comes along and goes,
yeah, but
you
not
know,
every character should be, not every character should be cherished by the whole company. Some characters, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, are going to be deemed expendable.
When's Pixie going to die? Has she died yet?
No, I'm surprised she actually hasn't died
yet.
Damn
it!
Although I've noticed a lack of her in a while. Like, I think I've seen her like in one panel in the past 17 months.
I would buy the trade ultimate.
She's listed somewhere saying that she's supposed to be showing up soon.
Damn it.
I would buy the ultimate trade of any story that killed off Pixie. Where is she?
I give the ultimate universe credit. Because they killed off Peter Parker. They killed off Logan. They killed off Scott. I give them tons of credit. You know? They offed them. You know,
they also killed off Beast, and they brought him back. So they've done resurrections in the ultimate universe.
But still in all, they killed off some of their, you know, they killed off their lead character in Spider-Man. You know, I give whoever's in charge of the Ultimate line tons of credit. They kept the book going, killed off the lead character. Well, apparently killed off the lead character. We know they killed Scott. He had a bullet pushed through his head.
That doesn't mean anything.
Wolverine got reduced to liquid. You know, he got flayed and then reduced to like standing. He died. So I look at that as thumbs up for consistency. I don't look at this and see anything like that. So yeah, I'm down on the book. I'm done with the book.
All right. I'm just saying that unfortunately you can like a character all you want, and you know it sucks when your favorite character dies.
And I think we can all agree, don't start petitions over things like
that.
Unless we get a Death Star.
Unless we get a Death Star. But I would love to see President Obama talk about dead comic book heroes. That would be amazing.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next bit of news, which apparently X-Men have been dominating the world lately, all about New Mutants, everything. Well, they canceled the current Adjectiveless book, which I think is ending at issue, 40, Arnold? I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you don't.
I'm not sure, but that does sound roughly right, maybe?
Yeah, so they're going to relaunch the book, as the thing Marvel does. But this time, it's going to be relaunched as X-Men number one, just X-Men. But it's going to be featuring an all-female cast, featuring the likes of one of my favorite mutants, Psylocke, Jubilee, who we do not know if she's a vampire yet, Kitty Pryde, Rogue, Storm via Mohawk, and Rachel Summers. And basically, Brian Wood, who's going to be the writer on this, along with Olivier Coipel, who, you know, fantastic artist, fantastic French artist, who, you know, Siege, Avengers, X-Men, such and such. Apparently, Jubilee is going to be the star, is the main star, but it's not going to be, the book is not going to be Jubilee and Friends. It's going to be about the whole cast. And, you know, and it's just, you know, he basically says that the women are the backbone of the X-Men, that just, you know, Scott and Wolverine are the most popular, but these women are the, you know, what builds the X-Men together. And, you know, for once, Taser likes to give me shit for, you know, the creator over of the character and yada, yada, yada. This book is a perfect example where I don't care who's on it. I like all these females. I like all these characters, and I'm going to read this book on day one. I don't care how heavy my book load is. I'll drop books if I have to, but I really want to read this title. Fucking Deadpool is an idiot for not saying Kitty Pryde is not a reoccurring X-Men. He's a fucking tool. you know, I grew up loving Jubilee in the X-Men.
Had so 90. Much fun giving him shit in that thread.
I love Jubilee from the X-Men 90s series. I have no idea what she's... been on lately, so it'll be fun to see what she's doing. Rogue's always been cool to me. Rachel Summers, I've gotten to know her. Wolverine the X-Men, she's a good character. Storm, I could give or take on Storm depending on how she's written, but I don't generally have a dislike for the character. And of course, my favorite mutant, Psylocke, who I'd rather much read her here versus in a book called Uncanny X-Men, which I feel like she doesn't belong in. So all in all, this book is a complete sell based on one image. So yeah.
I concur. It's just, to me, books are all about, I kind of see it as equal amount creative team, equal amount idea, but for this, I mean, you got Psylocke and Kitty Pryde, I mean, that's all I need. It would just be them two, I would buy it. You know, right? But you plug in, like, Storm and Rogue, I mean, two other great, like, female characters, I mean, who wouldn't want to read this? That should be the question. Who wouldn't want to read this? And what's wrong with him?
Deadpool.
Well,
that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
That's
misogynist assholes
like 11,
who only like,
you know,
men as their leaders.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Anywho. I'm down.
Yeah, more women-led books, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you know, a lot of people are at the forefront of it already. So this, I mean, puts Rogue on this team now, along with Uncanny Avengers. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some intermixing with that. Shadowcat, I'm a big fan of. Always.
I think she's everybody's, like, either first or second favorite X-Men.
Yeah, she's great. I dig her. Jubilee, I'm not a big fan of her to begin with. And the whole vampire aspect of her is even dumber. The closest I got to liking her was during her time in the X-23 books because it was just here or there. So I can do without her on this team. Rachel, I want to see what they're going to do with her. I feel like nobody's really been doing anything with her unless it's been happening in books that X-Men...
Well, she's been in Wolverine and the X-Men. She's
been that's true. And I mean, like, that's been her primary focus, and I think they kind of lost their way with her after AVX. She was kind of an end for means. And Psylocke's always great times, and definitely, of all of the costume changes, I would say hers is one of the most drastic. I think that's the most clothes I've ever seen on Betsy Braddock.
Yeah.
She's still hot, though.
She's that still pose really is hot. Yeah, just, I'm not accustomed to her being completely clothed. You know, she's one of those characters, that's like expecting to see Emma Frost with completely clothed. Like, you know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Taser, you have
anything? Power X-Men, go for it.
Yes. Taser, you have anything to say about this?
Isn't this Marvel's first all-female book?
No, there's Fearless Defender, like a team book?
Yes.
Well, if they only replace, I would think in a while, yes. Unless you count Fearless Defenders, which I think that's might be a female team book.
Has that been out yet?
No, but this is come. This isn't out yet till like I think April.
And when would Fearless Defenders come out?
March.
Okay. Well. All right, then. Well, either way,
we have two female-led superhero titles coming out, and of course, Captain Marvel.
I give them credit for that. You know, I don't look on this as something like, "Ooh, it's awesome because it's got all the chicks." I don't. Yeah, whatever. I'm also not too jazzed to see an X-Men team that simply exists to not have men in it, because that's really all this is, from what I can tell. I don't see, unless there's some type of event that causes them to come together and they have to remain together without any men, then I don't see what the big deal is. You know, and I view the same thing.
I'm sure there'll be reoccurring male X-Men characters. The book is just going to focus
on them. No, but we're talking about, not recurring characters, but characters that are part of the clique, shall we say.
There's a lot of X-Men books centered around male-centric characters with what's wrong with the all-female.
No. We're not talking about one character, two character. We're talking about a team.
I don't see anything what's wrong
team,
with that.
You know, if you want to like it, that's up to you. I don't, and I go the same way with all male books. I look at all male books and go, sausage fest. What the fuck? You know, I don't see why it has to be all that or all that. You know, I look at, I looked at the Milestone books, and this goes back a ways, and I went, oh, look, it's black. And, hey, pick the Caucasian. There we go. There's the token right there. You know, I don't, that doesn't move me. You know, if anything, it kind of irritates me. So this here, and there's nothing, nobody new here. You know, I mean, they should at least have somebody that nobody knows a whole lot about. You know, and yeah, I know they said that Jubilee is going to be the central character for whatever the hell reason, but
because nobody likes Jubilee,
which
I'll be
is
honest,
fine.
I don't know anything about this new Phoenix character.
That's Rachel Gray. She's been around for like 30 years.
Exactly. So. There's nobody new here. They should at least have some of the other younger or
maybe not they'll new. Add them as the book goes on.
But this is what I would have done from the jump. Not like maybe let's say issue 7. You know,
well, we don't know. I mean, maybe they show up in issue 2, but to get readers into the book, you throw some fan favorite women characters out there, and you don't get bigger than Psylocke or Kitty Pryde.
While I'm introducing this concept, I would have tossed it in there because, to me, this says nothing. This is just, oh look, it's just an X-Men book without the men.
Party pooper.
Yeah, what the hell? AP, call me AP. There you go, Agent Purple, or Out West. Dr. Naysay, or Iron Fan, or Taz Mission, or Iron Green.
There are a lot of different personalities.
Yeah, I've
done
like
that Moon Knight.
No, I'm just saying, though, this doesn't do anything for me because it's just chicks. You know, that's not a thing for me.
Chicks don't do it for me.
Nude, that'd be one thing, but it's just the women. So, you know, there's nothing there.
All right. Y'all, anything to say more about this?
That's
awesome. I can't wait.
X-Men in the City.
I guarantee you this will be the X word. But they're not lesbians, so it doesn't work. Damn it. Anyways, it's a good show, by the way. Anyway, speaking of television shows, wow, that was a perfect segue. We already know that Joss Whedon, supervising whatever, I don't know his title, is working on the S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot, which is coming through ABC. Now, apparently it's been officially confirmed, although I'm pretty sure we already knew this, that it's going to be taking place in the post-Avengers world and not a prequel, because Coulson's supposed to be in this in the show. And so basically I just wanted to bring this up because I would like to get y'all's thoughts on what would you want to see since it is going to be taking place in the post-Avengers world, like hints, cameos, you know, sort of wacky adventures they could get into. You know, obviously they can't do too much because that's going to be left up to the cinematic universe, but there's a lot of room to tell considering Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man will not be covering every aspect of the Marvel Universe. So what do y'all think?
I'm not really sure, actually, because in terms of, I have to say in comics, in terms of the books and the heroes and stuff, I sadly would say that I tend to not I didn't pay as much attention to S.H.I.E.L.D. and HYDRA and those kind of groups as much as I should have, so I'm more kind of learning about them as I go along between cartoons and everything that's going on in the comics and stuff. So I'm not sure yet what I would want to see that doesn't come, that doesn't veer closer to cinematic instead of television.
Well, I'm talking like characters, you know. Obviously, the thing is, the only thing I'm really worried about is budget, because, you know, television right. budget is nowhere near as high. But like, I wouldn't want to see Hydra in the first season, because that's too easy, I think.
I would find a couple of street level characters, or like B-listers or C-listers. Like, you can throw a Luke Cage in there. You can throw a Danny Rand in there. You know, a little nod to Daredevil. You know, things like that.
Still want Michael Jai White, Luke Cage.
I could work with that.
I'd watch the show anyway, no matter what.
Some of that kind of stuff is what I would want. I would want to see.
I personally want a hint at mysticism, and I don't. It wouldn't fit at all. But that's just me being.
Please, Doctor Strange, make an appearance. Please, Doctor Strange, make an appearance.
But honestly, I would. It'd be pretty cool. Honestly, I would like them for. I think we talked about this off show, but since Coulson's going to be in the show, I think. He's going to be an LMD, and, you know, not the LMD that got killed, but it's not the real Coulson, but this is a Coulson LMD that somebody worked on, or I don't know, that Nick Fury. I wonder if Sam Jackson's going to actually show up. That's what I wonder,
yeah,
considering he is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
To me, there's a lot of... But then...
You're cutting in and out, Johnny V, but we'll come back to you in a second. But yeah, that... I'm trying to think of other things, but like I said, I think the Taser, maybe you agree with this, me or not, but like, would you guys like to see AIM or anything like that? Like, terror,
yeah.
other terror?
Yeah, awesome. That would be something that's not simply villain of the week. That would be like, you know, the force set up opposite S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, so they're always the presence, you know, thrown in the side.
MODOK.
Maybe...
MODOK.
That would be nice, but I would hate to see the television version of MODOK, because I would not think that big giant fucking head and, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex arms and legs, you know, we're not going to get that.
Disney funded.
Exactly. Disney just doesn't want to scare the kids with, you know, giant super head.
But they got the budget. That's the good thing.
Won't happen.
Disney backs money right here.
If it's happening on Channel 7, no. Will not happen. I guarantee you will not happen. They'll do something else, and it'll be like Smallville's version of Mixie's Pitlick, where it's a guy who could give post-hypnotic suggestions or whatever.
Is that really what they did?
Yeah, he gave suggestions and people did it, you know, rather than, you know, magic, you know, which really pissed me off.
You know what they
honestly
should do? Is okay, look, okay, Josh Whedon should get all the writers for Smallville. Not for Smallville, but for S.H.I.E.L.D. And say, okay, guys, look. All this stuff here, don't do this. Because Smallville had the right idea, but I think they ultimately did not deliver justice to the... Anyways, but I think that's the right way to go. Don't do the... I think they might... I hope they don't do the villain of the week kind of thing, because it's S.H.I.E.L.D. They're not exactly superheroes, but build up to the return of Hydra, because, you know, Hydra's been dead for at least... Should have been quiet for at least over 7 years, because we haven't seen or heard of appearances in other movies. And of course, AIM could be a new faction. I'm trying to think of other organizations.
Under faction from S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That's kind of my problem with it. Like, just thinking about what it could be is, if you don't, like, make it mystical and bring stuff in, like, what are you going to have, you know, in essence? How is it going to be different than other spy shows that are on TV? How can you make it different if you don't add that really strong comic book feel to it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but the thing is, if Smallville offered anything, it's the budget is what I'm worried about, is when they try to do something like that. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Do either you two guys remember the last time Disney tried to do a comic book TV show? You remember that?
Live action?
Yes, live action. You don't remember that? Do you remember that movie about... That family show with Michael Chiklis.
Not Modern Family. I need to watch that. With Michael, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know it's
right.
Family.
What's it called?
It was called No Ordinary Family.
Yes,
no ordinary
right. Family. Exactly. And remember how dark that got?
No, I never watched it.
It didn't.
Me neither.
It didn't.
And you remember how violent it got? Not that much.
Maybe this is just me playing. Maybe it's because that was playing more up the family dynamic versus this is going to be about an intelligence agency.
I'm just saying that it's
an opportunity for it to be that.
And, you know, it's a whole new creative team too. So
was it Alias on ABC?
Yes.
Yes. I've never watched Alias, so I can't even judge that.
Alias.
And you're
got
comparing a non superhero show to a superhero show because S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't going to be a superhero show.
No, but we're talking about complexity and darkness, and I don't see.
I'm not saying it has to be that, but dark. It just, that's all I'm just saying. Entertaining.
Yeah,
you know? Entertaining is fine, but you know, there are going to be certain. Because we're fans, there's going to be certain things that we're going to kind of expect to see, even given this is going to be having the mouse's shadow on it.
Of course.
And I'm already prepared to be disappointed somewhat. You know, not having seen anything, don't know what's being planned or anything like that. I'm just prepared to be disappointed because, you know.
It'll be really interesting how they pull it off because we're certainly not going to get exterior shots of the helicarrier unless they do like the 80s where they would just reuse the same shot over and over again.
You know, they could just reuse shots from the movie and I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Are you sure about that?
No, because that was one of my favorite parts of the movie, so I would watch that helicarrier all day, every day.
I mean, it would save on cost. That's all I'm saying. It would save on cost.
True. All right. Anything more to say on the subject of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Me, yeah. I'm good.
All right. Well,
get Scarlett Jo on it.
I hope she can. You would think it would her and Jeremy Renner have to cameo at least once.
And they have to give us
probably in their contract because they signed with Disney. When you sign with Disney, you sign for life.
Exactly.
True.
Hey, it's good living. If Disney offers a contract right now, it's like, fuck it, yeah. You guys work
for Look at Vin Diesel and The Rock. They pretty much own those guys. So.
All right, well, let's
move on. The mouse pays big.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind working for Disney. All right, anyways, let's move on. Because I am not a self-deprecating asshole, I did not make Superior Spider-Man the Book of the Week because I didn't want to put myself to that pain. Normally we would do that, but we're not going to do that. So let's go to Arnold because I feel like Superior Spider-Man is the most talked about book, the book that everybody's been waiting for, especially after the events of Spider-Man 700. Arnold, what the fuck happened?
Superior Spider-Oc number one. So as we know, issue 700 is coming on. Peter Parker is no longer Spider-Man. Dr. Octopus is now Spider-Man in Peter Parker's body, but has all of his memories, everything. So that's where we last left off. So we spend this comic seeing doing everything that an octopus does. he's visiting his own grave, so to speak, which is where his body has been buried.
That's really creepy. Why would you do that?
Visiting his own grave? It's Dr. Octopus. He's got to go glow in some fashion. He knows he's not the one in there, so it's not as creepy.
He's dancing in sunshine.
So we run into a fight in the middle of the city with none other than, ironically enough, a new Sinister Six, which includes some old favorites and some new people. I don't know if they're new or if I've just never heard of them. They all seem pretty lame. The only person I really stood out, I think, was Shocker and Beetle, maybe? I have no idea.
Hydra Man wasn't in this? Oh, that sucks.
Captain Boomerang's, Boomerang's new costume. Boomerang. I like that. I thought that was dope.
And Living Brain, I've never heard of those guys. A chunk of these guys are new. I think it might even be mentioned in the book that they're new characters or that Spider-Man has not heard of them before. But midway through the fight, as he's leaving, he realizes he's got something else better to do or realizes it's foolish to just keep sitting around fighting and bounces. He just leaves. They kind of catch up with him, fight ensues, etc. We then cut to him at work where he takes the parts of the Living Brain because he's going to use it to track the Sinister Six, as it were. And he's kind of being a douche to the other employees at Horizon Labs, as Doc Ock is known to do. More pretentious than, which makes him come off as a complete fucking douche. Max Modell approaches him and is concerned about the stuff that he's making or inventing could be used as weapons. Till he shows Max something that he's come up with, and Max realizes how much it can put them on the map and everything, and completely says, is practically like, oh, you can do no wrong, keep doing what you're doing, pretend like I didn't say anything. We cut to him having a very creepy date with Mary Jane. He's got a headset on, which he's using to, you find out later, he's using to monitor the Sinister Six. But he's not paying attention to her at all. Like, even the speech bubbles, she's going on, and it's just more thought bubbles or, like, the thought bars of what he's actually, what's going on in his head. They cut to a panel where he's doing nothing but staring at her tits the whole time. As if the whole setup wasn't creepy enough. So he finally gets a bead on the Sinister Six and leaves on his date to go do Spider-Man stuff, as it were, and they're breaking into Horizon Labs China.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does Doc Ock know that MJ knows that Peter Parker's Spider-Man?
I would assume so, since he's got all of Peter's memories. I would assume that it...
Oh, okay, that's bullshit. That's right.
Right. I'm assuming it would include all the terrible ones, like One More Day and Omit.
Well,
no, actually, there's that part in this book where, remember how Peter was saying he was listening into, like, the police band, and she's like, oh really? Oh, do you need to? And he was like, no, I got things, da-da-da-da-da-da. So, I think she knows, and he knows that she knows.
Probably, yeah.
You know, cause the way that worked, the way that conversation flowed out, I think.
He pretty much flat out tells her, because he tells her that he's been tracking the Sinister Six.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm listening in on the Sinister Six. And she just continues on the conversation like they have these kind of talks every single day about this stuff. So I'm pretty sure they are both aware that the other one knows that the other one knows. That makes sense.
You know that I know that you know that I.
Right, exactly. At Horizon Lab, he breaks out a couple of new gadgets and tricks to take down these guys in like no time flat. Creates a frictionless surface that he pre-mopped the whole area with that he could essentially turn on and off. All these kind of things, and pretty much takes down this new Sinister Six all on his own. And as he's going to town on Boomerang, like, he is punching the shit out of him. And he gets to the point where he keeps hitting him and he's about to kill him. And right out of nowhere, a blue hand comes and stops and pulls his hand back, and you find out that Peter Parker is still very much conscious somewhere in the deep recesses of the brain.
There's the out. There's the out. There's the out.
I called that.
So, fear not, because I don't think with Obi-Wan Parker guiding the way, there's no way that there's going to be any tentacle action between Doc Ock and Mary Jane. I'm sure he's going to find some way to put the kibosh on that. It does. Say what you want. I've said this before. Love it or hate it. You have to wonder, where are we going with this now? I thought it was fantastic fun. And a good chunk of people that were bitching and pissing and moaning about 700 picked this up, and quite a few of them
hated this. Minds. What's going to happen next?
Peter Parker returns just in time for Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Of course. I said it. It's 2 years from now. Well, now a little under 2 years, but it's just now time to have 2 years, which I'm giving this 50 issues, and that'll give it enough time to be canceled by the time the movie comes out.
For Amazing Spider-Man number 1.
But Superior Spider-Ock is great. All I pictured when I got to that last page was Dr. Spider-Ock, you must go to the Dagobah system. they make them all blue and highlighty. Like, that's exactly what it reminds you of. So
tentacle
awesome.
Pleasure for Mary Jane.
I've seen enough hentai to know where this is going.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've all seen enough hentai to know.
The art was great, which just makes me sad that it's going to go to other different artists. That's the one thing I do hate, the constant robin of artists. I wish we had a little bit more.
Yeah, it's double shipping for you.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Stegman did great. I thoroughly enjoyed the book. It was a good laugh.
Can I say something real quick? About the art aspect of it, I liked Ryan Stegman when he was on Scarlet Spider earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I did not like his pencils in this one. I was like,
no?
What? It is a little different.
Picked this up, huh?
I flipped through at the store. I didn't buy it, but I flipped through at the store.
Nice.
I don't have it.
Also, I will give this a 3.7 out of 5.
Okay, well. You all can enjoy your adventures of Doc Ock as Spider-Man. I will be reading the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Enjoy your Mary Jane hentai.
I'm reading that too.
Oh, well, you know, hold on a second. Did this carry over into the other Spider books?
Yes.
Okay.
Spider-Man is now the Superior Spider-Ock.
and it's
all right, because I just wondered about that just now. I was like, well, wait a minute, hold on.
And later down the road, there's a teaser. We saw that teaser that came up.
Yeah, he's going to get kicked off the
picture of him, and it's like silhouetted or a faded out Avengers, and it just has fired right across of it. So we might not be an Avengers member for that long. Either that or it's from Horizon, but I don't know why they would put the X-Men and the Avengers behind him if he was getting fired from Horizon.
All right, well, let's go ahead. I guess I'll go up next with Punisher Warzone, number 3 of 5. This is the miniseries that wrapping up Greg Rucka's Punisher. Fantastic Punisher run. Sort of Punisher pseudo-fighting the Avengers, because that's what this has been built up as. But as we've read the miniseries, it really hasn't been that much about that. He fought Black Widow. Well, evaded Black Widow last issue. And this issue basically teases Punisher versus Thor in a way, with the Mjolnir pwned on Thor's hammer, Mjolnir on Frank Castle's chest. And so basically, at the end of last issue, Captain America sends Thor to into southern Indonesia to find Frank Castle. And these insurgents, as I'm going to call them, decide to fight the God of Thunder. Thor quickly makes work of all of them. Frank Castle, knowing he can't fight the God of Thunder, simply plays keep away. Uses the local militia to distract him. He's basically kind of using Thor as a missile, like a heat missile. Like, I'm going to use you. You're coming after me, but you're going to hit these targets on the way as well. And even Thor's like, you impressed me, mortal. You know, sort of admiring Frank Castle's lead. And Thor takes out in a nice splash page of Thor wrecking the entire camp by bringing the lightning down. And it's pretty cool. Gia Domenico does a fantastic job. I love his rendering on it. And you know, for some reason, Frank, I guess he was in desperation, brings out a gun, and Thor quickly grabs his hand. He's like, no, this battle's ended. And he punches him, and he punches Frank Castle, knocks him out, and he basically has a speech while drinking beer, because he feels that Frank Castle is somewhat worthy. And Frank Castle, you know, he's basically trying to talk Frank Castle out of it. Like, you know, you're only, this isn't and good, and Frank being who he is, you know, this war is my life. And you know, Thor's trying to tell him, like, this is not the way, yada yada, you know, trying to convince the Punisher to stop. And you know, this blood rage is only going to bring more hell on you if you don't stop. And you know, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And he basically leaves him with an ultimatum: you either keep doing this and we're going to come after you, or we're going to, or you could end this lifestyle and nothing will come of it. And of course, knowing that, Steve Rogers knowing this, that Frank Castle is gonna do, he's gonna now try to rescue Rachel Coles Alves, who was a reoccurring character in the Punisher book. She's going to be sentenced to death. I don't know how, she's probably lethal injection. How do people die in New York State? Lethal injection?
It hasn't happened that often, but I believe that is it.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I would assume Rucka's realism of writing, she's going to die by lethal injection. So basically, Captain America told Thor to tell him about the to basically bait him out to go try to rescue Rachel Cole of Alves. And it turns out that she's been charged of all crimes. This is just another great issue of Rucka. You know, I think... I've seen some people dislike the series, and I think that's because people were expecting Punisher versus the Avengers, and that's, you know, kind of misleading, but it's really Punisher outsmarting the Avengers. So far he's done it. Whether he's going to do that in issues 4 and 5 remain to be seen, but it's been a really good sort of, I don't want to say realistic, but understandable storytelling in terms of how he's fought Spider-Man. He's got his ass kicked. Black Widow, he fought to a standstill virtually. She's a little bit stronger than him, but fought to a standstill. Thor, he knew he couldn't beat Thor, so I'm really interested to see how he, you know, he fights, if he fights Captain America, you know, written by Greg Rucka. So the next issue cover shows him over a grave with Captain America and Spider-Man's bodies. So yeah, I can't recommend this enough. I still tell people, try Greg Rucka's Punisher run. You'll love it, even if you don't like the Punisher. It certainly has made me a Punisher convert. And this has just been a really interesting into the mind of sort of Greg Rucka writing the Marvel Universe characters. Like, I've never seen him write Thor or Black Widow or Spider-Man. He does a really good take on all of them. Like, they don't all sound off. They sound perfectly right, but with his voice. But it doesn't feel wrong. The only backside to this is that, while, like I said, Diageminico is a great artist, I really wish Marco Cicchetto had done the art for this mini, because it just would have looked that much better. But Diageminico's not bad. He does a really good job. I give it a 4 out of 5. I wish this come out with sooner, though.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it.
What's the difference between Frank Castle, Wolverine, Black Widow, and... what's the difference between those three people?
One's
got a vagina.
Yeah.
There is that.
What do you mean in terms
of... Okay, so one has a vajayjay, and...
One's a mutant healing tank weapon, the other one's a ex-marine who wants to kill all criminals.
Okay, so Wolverine, who goes around, his sole offensive ability is to disembowel people. Another woman who goes around, is a woman who goes around with her widow sting, but also uses firearms. And Frank Castle, who does none of that, but he uses heavy weaponry.
It's not Steve Rogers who called the hit. It's Spider-Man, and this is before Amazing Spider-Man number 700, of him being, like, at the beginning of the series, Spider-Man was swinging through New York, because Punisher has been set up that he killed. It was made to look that he killed innocents at the New York Stock Exchange.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, this actually goes to do with Captain America and how he views Punisher, as opposed to some of the other people that he's led on the Avengers. Remember during Civil War?
He's going after them. He hasn't really expressed an opinion on Frank Castle.
Civil War, Captain America didn't want Frank Castle on his side.
I'm talking about in this miniseries.
Which is fine, but I'm talking about in general. Captain America doesn't like Punisher because Frank Castle just takes and puts bullets in people's heads. Replace him with Wolverine. What's the difference?
He's Canadian.
There you go.
What
I'm saying is the fact that I'm willing to see what Greg Rucka has in for store because he's a superior writer to what Mark Millar wrote. And I think Civil War is a little bit of an understatement because that was written for more of a general, broadlistic audience. Granted, it's not totally dismissive, but that's what I'm taking it as. And that the only reason they're going after this is because, you know, I think we don't know what Steve Rogers thinks in terms of this particular situation of the Punisher.
Okay.
Because in the first issue, Spider-Man's all like, look, guys, we got to take care of the Punisher. We got to do this. And every single one of them, I'm like, he's not our problem. He's small fry. What are you talking about? He's not our problem. So it's more of, I think Steve Rogers is just playing the waiting game. Because he's not actively, I don't think he has said, in this particular miniseries, he has not said anything for or against the Punisher. He's never said we're going to take him down. It's just more of, we need to find this man. But never in a poor or positive life. I'm pretty sure he doesn't like him because of the certain methods he does. And the extremes he goes through, but we'll have to wait and see. And I'm interested to see if there is going to be a confrontation between those two in the next two issues.
All right.
So, yeah. Punisher Warzone. Not Punisher versus the Avengers, but still a damn good story. Let's go to Johnny V, who apparently is reviewing Scarlet Spider.
I am reviewing Scarlet Spider. I've been enjoying this series, and one of my favorite things about the series is just how separated it is from the rest of the spider world.
Well, Texas is pretty much a whole different...
That's one thing I enjoy about the book is Yost really gets as much out of it being in Houston as he possibly can. For instance, I'm just going to give you a brief recap of what this issue is about. It's about... sex slaves, human trafficking, and werewolves.
Woohoo!
And it's an entertaining book, I'll give it that, but just the fact that they try to incorporate all three of these into one book, it feels very disjointed. Like, I wanted to take this book kind of seriously. Like, when it first started out, I was like, oh, man, they're really going, like, mature and deep, you know, talking about the Mexican border cartels, you know, like, selling people for sex slaves. I was like, man, this is going to be dark. And then all of a sudden, there's, like, you know, werewolves hopping out of bushes. And it was just kind of like, eh. I mean, if you're going to go that realistic route and be real dark and gritty, then really be dark and gritty, you know what I mean? But if you want to do a werewolf story, do a werewolf story. But here they tried to... But with this, it was like the werewolves were the human traffickers, and it was just kind of like one moment spider saving this 13-year-old girl from this rapist. And it was a very, like, real disturbing kind of scene, like this real creepy guy that you think would rape, like, a 13-year-old girl. And Spider-Man's like, break! Then all of a sudden he's fighting werewolves, and it's gonna be interesting. He's captured my attention, whole dichotomy. But it's the one negative I have. It's a little bit disjointed. The art's really good. Fam, I guess is how you pronounce his name.
Still on the book?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The dream sequence that if I'm pronouncing that right, that she's beautiful art. She's sitting like this field of flowers and very colorful. So I would recommend it. If nothing else, check out the art. The story, it started out, I thought, really well. And then, like, once the villains kind of show their faces, it kind of demeans what was shown, like, earlier in the book. So if you're wanting to see, like, something more serious, it kind of hints at it, and then it kind of retracts back from that. Like, it doesn't want to go too deep into that world, I don't think. When I think it'd be better if it did, but we'll see with it. Overall, I'd give this probably 2.8 out of 5. Like, it's not bad, it's just really disjointed, and it kind of feels like it didn't... Like, I feel like Yost was just sitting there like, I really want to tell this story about human trafficking and sex slaves, but I can't get too deep into that, so let's throw a werewolf and kind of still make it comic booky.
If you don't mind if I answer it, yeah, I do see it's comic book. I think that the whole werewolf thing, I think that's more to do with, I'm not sure how you say that girl's name either. I've been pronouncing it Araceli.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I've been pronouncing it, but I really don't know how it's pronounced. But I think that that's where that's coming from. I think he's trying to flesh out her story and figure out what her deal is. We still really don't know that much about her other side. She was a girl involved in human trafficking, and she made that the way that they
is that the girl from the first issue?
Yeah, the one who's possibly psychic and all of that, and she's got, you know, all this kind of weird stuff surrounding her. So I think that that's where that's coming from. But kind of mixing it in. I see you got the vibe that they're involved with the human trafficking. Do you think that's the case? Like, they've just been bringing girls back to life?
Snap, crackle, and pop are trying to kill JV's connection. Stop him! Somebody pour milk on him!
yeah, we lost.
Oh, he's still there! There's still life! JV, you're real low. Hold on, we might need to pause this.
Am I coming in?
He's coming back.
Am I good?
Yeah, you sound better.
Yeah.
A lot better.
It's
and
like
not crackly.
Level changes on its own. I'm just fucking... Alright, so am I good?
Yeah.
We're not hearing anything.
Alright, sorry about that. But the point I was going to make... is that if it's the human trafficking is not part of what they're involved with, it seems like it's kind of a waste of time to show it. You know, it was like, if that was, when they first showed it, I was like, oh, this is the theme that they're going to be going with. I was like, this is going to be kind of interesting, a very dark Spider-Man story. But if that's not going to be a part of it, it just seems like it was kind of a waste to show it.
Yeah. And maybe it would have come across better if they did it as its own kind of story arc instead of right smack dab in the middle of this one, too.
Right.
It might work better, because eventually we have to figure out what's going on with this girl and what her deal is, because they're obviously building her character up a lot.
Right, and I agree with that. I actually like her, kind of how her and Scarlet Spider play off each other. I actually like that. But it's going to be weird, because if they're not involved, it just kind of seems like the first 8 pages were kind of a waste. And I don't want it to. Like, I think it'd be very interesting to show something like that in a Spider book. And like I said, that's what I like about Scarlet Spider. It gets to be on its way from the main stable, so they can take chances on kind of stories like that. So, but overall, like I said, it's not bad. I think Yost is a really good writer. He paces things really well, to where they're interesting throughout from beginning to end. The art's really good. So, you know, check it out if it's that sounds about kind of like long lines of what you would want to do. So, like I said, 2.8 out of 5. Maybe 3. I'll go up to 3. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. All right.
Is this guy's first name Christopher?
Yeah.
Chris.
He was involved in the Earth's Mightiest Heroes show.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. Wasn't Christopher Yost the first Blue Ranger on Power Rangers?
That's Billy Yost.
That's Billy Yost.
Maybe it's his brother. Okay, my bad.
I doubt it. I entirely doubt it. I brought this up with Kuhan.
And he invents for being sad enough to know that.
I've watched almost every season. I am that sad.
All right. Well, let's last but not least, let's end the show with Taser.
Huh? What?
Eh.
Do I? Anyway. Eh? Who? Okay. Taser will be reviewing Marvel Universe vs. the Avengers. Number 4, the last issue in a limited series. Why, oh, why did I bother? And you know, I like Jonathan Mayberry's novels. His novels are compelling, they're deep, and they're engrossing. His comic stuff, decidedly less so, and unfortunately with this, because I'm so used to his novels, this was just kind of like, okay, yeah, it's just zombie, not Marvel zombie stuff. It's not Marvel zombie stuff overlaid into the Marvel Universe, and apparently this series is bordered by, I think, Punisher after it, and then what the hell was it?
Deadpool?
Was it Deadpool?
Wolverine?
No, Wolverine. Marvel Universe versus Wolverine before it. So it's Wolverine, the Avengers, and then Punisher. I didn't read either of those two. I have no interest in reading either of those two. Basically, we find out that Dr. Doom has been
Lying
to everybody. What?
Your favorite character.
Yeah, Marvel wanks Doom like no other. I swear to God.
He hasn't been in a book since Avengers Crusade.
But apparently Dr. Doom has been lying to everybody. The gems that he's been making people wear doesn't prevent the virus or whatever it is from getting in. It just controls how they behave, and he has direct access and direct control of said functions. He's also been using Deadpool to bring him bodies, because Hawkeye breaks into this room which has got like writing on blood all over the walls, bones stuffed in drawers. It is a complete disarray. It's a mess. Deadpool himself is all in supplication. I have no idea how the hell, you know, Doom managed to wrangle this on him. But yeah, so Doom is basically insane, you know, and he's eating people. Hawkeye, of course, you know, is trying to spill the beans. Hawkeye manages to warn people, and you know, the fight needs to they gotta, you know, get rid of Doom or whatever. And naturally Doom goes, aha, you'll not listen to me, so boop, and he turns off the control, and all the people who were on the verge of turning promptly do so, including Red Hulk, who is in the process of helping Tony put up a defensive wall, which is just the completely wrong time to do that. And, you know, Doom being Doom, he screws everything up. So, It's basically the small amount of Avengers in Resistance Science Lab, Fairbanks, Alaska, who are left, and Hawkeye, Black Widow, and the Punisher. And, I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, everybody else is either turned or turning. Black Widow ends up getting taken by Spider-Man in, like, a swing raid, you know, which is, like, the funniest thing ever. He just kind of, like, swings through. He's like, ha-ha, meat, you know, like, what the fuck? Red Hulk is just all, grr, meat. He's pummeling Tony. Tony's basically going critical. And he goes critical, and then his thing goes off, and Tony is in the armor, ravenous and insane. Everything continues going to hell. Black Widow gets taken. Thor is in Asgard looking at everything going to hell. Punisher and Hawkeye split up. Hawkeye finds a bone fragment of Wolverine, and he sneaks back into Four Freedoms Plaza, and he hits, just like Green Arrow and Prometheus, he hits Doom in the face with, you know, the claw, adamantium claw, right in the forehead. Oh, look, Doom dead. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of sudden and kind of expected. And when I get to that point, I'm kind of, okay. Yeah. I don't feel anything. You know, it's just like, okay, yeah, he's done. But, of course, the greater problem, and because, I'll say this right now, because I didn't know that this was part of a miniseries of sorts, you know, I was kind of hoping that, yes, the zombie virus would be addressed and fixed. You know, it's only four issues. Like, what the fuck? But, you know, that doesn't happen. And Hawkeye goes outside, and, you know, Frank is elsewhere, and he's all trying to convince himself about, well, I'm an Avenger, so I must do whatever, and I will avenge, and blah, 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 blah. And we see, and the twisted thing, we see Frank walk by while he's going over his head, and, you know, Hawkeye's referring to himself as the last Avenger. So, la, 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 I'm walking on sunshine, Spider-Man swinging overhead looking for more meat. And he looks up, and there's this shadow that comes across his face, and Thor comes down with Mjolnir and caves in. He knocks his head into his chest. Big-ass hammer strike. Thor raving, blood coming out of his mouth, and then he flies off with the body. I'm like, oh! So I guess Thor got the virus, too. And then it ends with Frank Castle looking at Spider-Man through the scope going, okay, there are no more civilians, no more innocent bystanders. Now it's just them and me.
Frank and I'm about to open a can of whoop ass.
I like that voice.
That's my date rape voice. But anyway, seriously, this book, I when you get to the next page, it's like, if you'd like to like more from this universe, please check out. And I'm like, blah, and then blah. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't feel anything. You know, I don't feel like, oh, good story. I don't feel.
You should go to the doctor. That's going to be a problem.
Hey! But and apparently the other two were done by Mayberry, and that's probably the problem. I'm given a book. I'm in the middle of a story, you know, and apparently, you know, parts one and three were already told. So, I'm kind of left out, and I can't say it was bad. It's just I didn't know, you know, my fault. I didn't know, but I'm not left with a good feeling or any type of positive leftover, you know, no residual essence, however you want to call it, you know, from having finished this story. I'm just kind of like null, you know. It's okay, yeah, it's done, and that's it. And it's not necessarily a badly told story. I'm just not left with anything that would make me want to continue and see how it starts, because, you know, it didn't really start here. It had started elsewhere, and where the story continues. Sadly, I can't even give anything for the art, because the art really wasn't that great here. If you like this kind of stuff, and you know, damn it, I love Mayberry's books, but you know, his comics, they're just not working here. If you like zombie comics, then you probably are going to like this. If you haven't picked the other ones up already, and you're likely to do this. If you don't, I would say leave it alone. You know, take my word for it. Don't get involved. Don't get invested. Unless you've got money to burn and you can grab all four of these and the trades of the other two and you can read them all in one shot. That might tell a better story. Other than that, avoid it. So to give it a warrior rating, I'm going to give it a 1.0 out of 5. I can't give it any more than that. And even then, I'm being generous because I don't know what it gets a 1 for. I just don't want to give it a complete 0.
Love that you decimaled the 0. 1.0.
All right, well, there you go. That's going to end our show.
No!
I want to thank Johnny V for guest starring again, because bitchless.
Because Brian sucks, and yes. So does his sister who stole his laptop.
Yep.
Trying to move out, Brian.
Oh, the problems of high schoolers.
Oh, it's great. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/WarriorsThreePcast. I got an iPhone today, and I might get an Instagram. I don't know yet. So and the Warriors 3
Hipster.
Might get an Instagram. I don't know. Part of me doesn't want to do it because I don't want to be like all, oh, look at me. I'm taking a photo while eating. Okay.
Well, that's what Instagram's for.
Is it?
So you don't...
Do I get to be hip with the other kids?
Oh, you don't
now?
Do that. Okay.
All right. Well, you
don't get disconnected.
You can follow us at twitter.com/WarriorsThreePcast, where I'm already there. We're on Facebook, as always. I know Arnold has his personal Twitter. And I think that's about it. Am I right? All right. Well, CoreCast still sucks, considering they haven't put an episode out since they know, hey, look, these guys are just clearly better. So we will see
actually,
y'all.
I think, you know what it is? I think they're realizing that the GL universe is just not as much fun anymore. That's so what they haven't done anything in a while.
Why do you think I never made this like particular podcast around one character? That'd be a disappointment.
Huh? Fair enough.
The Third Army looks like a group of alien rapists.
Well, they already, yes! Aren't they raping people?
You mean like Gordon? Oh!
That's what they look like to me. Every time I read a Green Lantern story that has those Third Army characters in it, I'm like, oh yeah, the alien rapists. And it's not getting any better.
No. We will see, and I'm kind of down on Green Lantern again, like, oh, this is why I dropped the book in the first place.
Yeah, Jeff Johns just needs to give it up.
Yeah.
You did good for a while there, John. Just go do Aquaman. Let someone else take over Green Lantern.
I like him on Justice League a lot.
Yeah, I've actually enjoyed Justice League quite a bit, too.
Well, this is not that podcast, so we're going to see y'all next week. Well, at least me, yep. Taser, and Arnold will, but we'll see y'all next week for episode number 131.
With more dubstep, because we love dubstep. We all love dubstep. Dubstep.
Dubstep sucks. Smile so high, got up and asked for his name. That don't matter, he said, because it's all the same. Your home where we can be alone. Next we're moving on. It was with me, yeah, me. Next we're moving on.